Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you. We just want to bless you for who you are. Lord, there is none like you. There is none that can be compared unto you, Lord. Lord, even as we come, even as your family, as your children, Father, Lord, I pray, God, may you speak to us. We pray, God, even as we hear your word, may the word find a fertile ground and may it produce fruit, Father, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, before we encounter you, Lord, may we accomplish everything that you have called us to do here on earth. May we hear the word, Lord. Well done, faithful servant. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, you are our teacher, our guide. May you lead us. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. I hope you guys are excited. We are doing a series called Set Apart. And all of you, the guys who have been with us for the longest or for almost an year, you know that every year we have a theme that we actually walk with throughout the year. Last year was miracles, and we saw God do mighty things, amen? And this year we had the theme that even as every nation, all the churches all over the world that are under every nation, our keyword or our theme is set apart, amen? And we have been seeing right now, we are at week 4, we have been seeing what exactly setting apart is, amen? And one of the things that we actually said when we talk about being set apart, even when you look at scripture, it's actually where you set yourself apart to be used by God. Amen? Am I making sense? Where you set yourself apart. And I want to read a scripture and then we will jump into. This is found in 2 Timothy. It's not in my notes. So you can just write it down. This is a scripture that I actually found the day I gave my life to Jesus when I was reading the New Testament. This scripture popped out to me and I saw what God was saying. And I want you guys, even as we look at this year, when we talk about being set apart, it's actually not God going to do it for you. It's actually you have to decide that I'm going to set myself apart. Amen? Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. It says, now in a large house, they are not only vessels and objects of gold and silver, but also vessels and objects of wood and of earthware. And some are honorable, noble and good, used, and some are for dishonor. And it says common. Therefore, if anyone cleanses themselves from these things which are dishonorable, disobedient, sinful, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, amen? Sanctified, meaning set apart for a special purpose, useful to the master, prepared for every good work, amen? And when we talk about being set apart, it's not about our standard, but it's because of the one that is going to use us, amen? And we have seen through first week, second week, and third week, we saw how we were talking about actually when we set ourselves apart, the one that we look unto, the one who gives us the standard is actually God. Amen? We started with talking about God being holy, and we talked about what it meant to be holy. Amen? I'm not going to jump into it because Vivian did a very good job about it last week. And Spiwe came with a powerful statement when he said how we lost our holiness. Amen. And he showed us from scripture where actually the thing that made us miss, and he used an illustration that has stood out for me. You remember when he talked about the shadow? And he said, if right now I walk and my shadow moves the other way, all of you guys are going to run because you're going to go witchcraft. Amen. And I like Vivian said, what does the Bible says disobedient is? Aha, so how many witches do we have inside? Okay, let me leave that. let me leave that. And he said something. He said, the problem that happened in the garden is the shadow wanted to be free. And yet we know the shadow has no purpose or has no objective if the object is not there. Amen? But the shadow wanted to be. And that's why when God said, let us make man in our own image, he was actually saying, you shall be my shadow. And when God lifts his hand, he expects you to lift yours. But when we look at the Genesis, we see when God lifted his hand, the other hands were down. And that's when holiness was separated. Vivian did a beautiful job yesterday when, last Sunday, he talked about peanut. You saw the peanut. And he said, God is not that God wants to attack you or to kill you. It's just that he reacts when sin comes around him. And he used an illustration of talking about peanuts. When people get close to peanuts, they react. And actually, it's very deadly. You can actually die. And that's why when we looked at it, we saw how God is so holy that when sin comes close to him, he consumes it, not because he wants to consume it, but because of his nature, he will react. And that's why when you look at the Old Testament, he will say, be careful because I will break out. And whenever somebody came to his presence, he had to be set apart. And every time when God wanted to do something, he'll say, set yourself apart. Why? Because God was giving them an antidote of how to be with him. Amen. So we saw those things. But today, I want to talk about holiness restored. Amen. And we talked about how we lost it. We talked about God's holiness and how he responds to people who are not holy. And because we are not holy, we see in Genesis, God actually coming up with a solution. But I want to start with Genesis 3. We want to look at the Old Testament and see what God came up with just to help the children of Israel or us to see how we are doing. And I want to see something that is very powerful in the Old Testament. The solution that God gave was actually them preparing them for what was supposed to come. So when we look at the Old Testament, it actually talks about covering, amen, of sin. And you look at Genesis 3, it says this. It says, then the Lord made a tunic of animal skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Amen. And you will see that's the theme, because when you look at the Old Testament, you see there was a lot of sacrifice happening, but it was never fully complete because they had to kill animals each and every day. You tell me the smell that used to come out from that place. I'm so grateful that we are not living there, because, hey, man, I will be tired of killing your animals. Like, everybody comes to church with an animal, with a goat. Hey, Muruti, you know what I did yesterday. Hey, kill this one. I cut it. And then somebody comes and says, hey, I brought a sheep. Hey, you know what? So every time, there were professional slaughter priests. But when you look at that, you find actually it was not completely. And God was just trying to show them that there is something that needs to happen. And when we look at this, we see the introduction was actually a thing about death. And God was saying that actually for him to actually cleanse you from your sin, something had to die. Amen? And that's why we see animals were dying. But the blood of the animals were just there to just wash you for a few days. It never took care of you. Amen? And if you look at it, you see how the people were working. Imagine how many animals died. And if you look at Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. And this sermon, even when I was preparing, it's one of the hardest, because I feel like we don't actually understand the consequences of sin. Amen? I know Viv showed something well. She said, and I've seen somebody react to peanuts. It's not a good thing. But the consequences of sin, it's so, so dangerous. And but by the church, we have lost it because we talk so much of God's grace. And I'm not refusing. The grace of God is there. The love of God is there. But the consequences of sin, it's so, so dangerous. But we have taken it lightly. There's something Vivian said yesterday. He says, when the Bible says fear God, it's not what us preachers have come to say. It's reverence. No. It is to fear.
It's not what we've been telling you guys, reverence. Mm-mm. It's total fear. And you can see it from the Old Testament. Every time somebody encountered God, even the New Testament, I like the Revelation. He says when John saw him, he fell like dead. He could not contain himself because of who was standing in front of him. Amen? So we see in the Old Testament God coming and giving them a solution. And the solution was to tell them, actually, guys, remember this. When you sin, it's actually the only way to deal with it. It's something has to die. Amen? And when we look at Leviticus, this is what it says. And how many of you guys have you read Leviticus and you get tired of it? Oh, man, I went like, no, this is too much. I was actually thinking and I went like, how did this guy survive? You know, you need a whole manuscript just to be walking throughout the day. You go like, did I do that? I said that. Hey. But if you look at all of that, it was actually God showing them that actually, you guys and anything you do, you can never actually fulfill what I expect from you. Amen? And that's why you find like in Genesis, God makes a proclamation and he says, the seed of the woman. Seed, not seeds. Amen? And we are going to come to that. Are we together? So we see in the Old Testament, it was not possible. But now the good thing. I like this thing and I will steal it. It says, but God. Amen? But God. In the New Testament, there's a statement that John makes. And he still refers to what God had said about the lamp. But this is what he says in John 1:29. He says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, look, the lamp of God. I want you guys to hear this. In the Old Testament, it was he killed the animal and then he covered them. Listen to what John says. He says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No longer covering. This time is when he comes, when he dies, when you accept and you believe in him, his blood washes you that I can stand. You remember that suit last time? It looked so unique. Eh? That suit was cool, eh? But this time, I can stand before God boldly and call him Abba Father. And I'm not worried that he's going to react to the sin because I am changed because of him. Amen? And we look at it, we see that actually, Jesus became the perfect. And who is Jesus? Is God. Amen? And I want to show you something. Oh, Lord, help me. In Genesis, God says, let us make man in our own image. Let them have dominion over the earth. We see God relinquishing authority here on earth and saying, this is a man's domain. I restrict myself. Even though I am able, I am restricting myself and saying, let man have dominion. And what he was meaning is, whatever you see me do here, you do here. And that's why God could not come as a spirit. And the only way to hear on earth is through a woman. And Jesus was born. And that's why I said with you guys, when Jesus said, now all authority has been given unto me. You know what he did? He changed that thing in Genesis where he had given it here. So now God does not only just have authority here, but now he has authority in every aspect, even here on earth. That's why when you walk and you speak on his behalf. That's why when I say something that he has said, it has no choice but to do. And that's the price he paid for us. Amen? Let me read this and I'm almost done. It says this in Hebrews 9:11. Listen to this and I'm almost done. It says, but when Christ came as the high priest of the good thing that are now already here, he went through the greatest and the most perfect tabernacle. That is not made with human hands. That is to say, it is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of the goats, calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thou obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of the goats and the bulls and the ashes of the heifers sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean, sanctified them so that they were outward cleansed, clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that led to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called, many receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he is dead, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sin committed under the first covenant. Amen. So we see here what Christ did for us. And as I come to my end of this thing is to say, one of the things that we have to understand is the restoration of our holiness was not cheap. Amen? It is free, but it wasn't cheap. And I want to ask a question, because when I was preparing this, I wanted to ask you guys, how many of us actually values what Jesus did for us on the cross? I'm not saying don't raise your hands, just think about it. How many of us, if you look at your life, you can actually say, I'm confident if he appears today, I have no worry.